I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 9:01 a.m. on Monday, March 13th, 2023. Present today, we have Representative Galvin, Representative Galom, Representative Ortiz, Representative Kronk, Representative Tomaszewski, Co-Chair Edgman, Co-Chair Foster, myself, Co-Chair Johnson, Representative Stapp joining us. We have our LIO moderator assisting us today, Jake Wade, and Finance Secretary Leah Frazier. As we start, please remember to silence your cell phones. And at the next several House Finance meetings, we will hear subcommittee closeout reports. The intention is to go through the subcommittee reports grouped together by the chair of the subcommittees. I expect we will spend approximately 10 minutes on each subcommittee report. And once we have heard all the reports, we will then roll them into a committee substitute, and that will be CS1. Hopefully, we will have CS1 before you on March 20th, and that will be followed by public testimony. I will be set a deadline for amendments to CS1, which will most likely be Friday, March 24th. But first, we will begin this morning. Before we hear our first subcommittee report, we'll have a presentation on the governor's amendments to the Department of Education and Early Development. And presenting today will be Neil Steiniger. Welcome, Neil. He's the director of the Office of Management and Budget. And if you would, yes, go ahead and come forward, put yourself on the record, and you may begin your presentation.
Good morning. For the record, Neil Steiniger, Director, Office of Management and Budget. And I believe in your packets you should have a spreadsheet with titled Governor Amend Bill Summary Spreadsheet March 7th. So on March 7th, the governor released a number of items related to the Department of Education as budget amendments, in addition to two pieces of legislation introduced to the legislature. Today, we'll be walking through the amendments for the Department of Education. There are five items on the spreadsheet. The first is $4 million for the ANSET program, or the Alaska Native Science and Energy Engineering Program. There was $1 million included in the governor's December 15th budget. This brings that total up to $5 million. To support an expansion of that program to allow it to serve an additional number of students. Item two is $1 million for Alaska Resource Education Grants. The Alaska Resource Education Organization's mission is to educate students about Alaska resources and resource development in the state. Item number three is $3 million for Career and Technical Education Incentive Grants. Through the Department of Education's Education Support and Administrative Services Student and School Achievement section. Item number four is $3 million for teacher recruitment, retention, and certification support. This is a program with a time period of fiscal year 24 through 26, so three fiscal years to evaluate how well these programs work and then see if there's something that should be continued if they are effective at increasing the ability to retain and recruit teachers. And item number five is $5 million for the Alyeska Reading Academy and Institute. This is designed to increase the quality of reading instruction and increase access to the science of reading instruction. And if there's any questions on any of these items, I do have Acting Commissioner Heidi Teschner here with me as well.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, to the Chair. On your first amendment, the $4 million increment for ANSEP, in relationship, I see that part of the plan is to provide more opportunity through providing, sounds like, more regional access, including development of a school here in Juneau, I believe, along with some other locations. In relationship to, that seems like a good thing to support. I'm certainly on board for that. What is being done? It looks like there's a summer program for those students that might not have access because they don't live regionally enough, close enough to be able to attend ANSEP. There's a summer program. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that is envisioned?
For the record, Heidi Teschner, Acting Commissioner of Department of Education Early Development, through the Chair Representative Ortiz, this particular increment, so for the $5 million total, is specifically for the Acceleration Academy expansion. So it's not going to go to the other programs, and unfortunately I don't have enough information in front of me about what the middle school and their other programs do. But this particular one is just for the Acceleration Academy. So just for 9th and 12th graders allow students from 8th grade to go from 8th grade to a bachelor's degree in 5 years. So for students in 9th through 12th grade. For the Acceleration Academy. That's being expanded into Dillingham, Juneau, Kotzebue, and Fairbanks.
Follow up. Can you explain to me a little bit more about, you use the term bachelor's degree. What do you mean by that? Like, are you talking about college bachelor's degree?
Through the Chair Representative Ortiz, yes. So the way ANSEP's program works, it allows students to basically get their high school and their bachelor's programs to get high school college credit in high school. So they either can basically get their bachelor's degree within 5 years, or they can get a number of credits to help towards their bachelor's degree. So it diminishes the amount of time they need to be in college and gets them into the workforce faster.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Colom.
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair. So I had a question on Amendment 4. So this teacher recruitment, retention, support, can you give me a little bit better idea of what that is? It sounds like you're studying whether your recruitment efforts are successful or not, or is it actually trying to recruit teachers?
Through the Chair, Representative Colom. So this is supporting the teacher recruitment and retention work that's already happening through the TRR, we call it TRR, teacher recruitment retention, work groups that are happening right now. They have... they're working on their final, there was an action plan report dated April 2021, which I can provide the committee if you guys have not seen it. But it goes through six identified areas, and I can explain what those are: strengthening work conditions, developing leadership, restructuring recruitment options, enhancing recruitment efforts and opportunities, creating paraprofessional pathways, and streamlining certification and recertification. So this funding will help support the recommendations that come out of that report that's supposed to come out in August. In addition, the State Board of Education and the department are moving forward with an alternate certification pathway program, kind of a grow your own program. So we're looking to identify what, how we can get more of our Alaskan educators or students currently and keep them in the Alaska pipeline, because we have this teacher shortage. So this funding would be doing multiple things, supporting the TRR work happening, mm-hmm. and also identifying alternate pathways.
Can I have a follow-up?
Follow-up.
Does any of this money go towards positions, more PCNs?
Through the Chair, no.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Representative Galvin.
Thank you. I'm going to follow up on what we just heard from Representative Colom. This sounds really exciting, all of these pieces. In this one line item regarding the funding for recruitment and retention efforts, is that recruitment and retention within Alaska or outside or both?
Through the Chair, Representative Galvin, obviously we want to focus on in-state, but we're not against out-of-state. We're still trying to figure out what that exactly looks like.
Okay, and do you have a sense of, it sounds like it's $3 million over 3 years, potentially, whether the resources would go toward the recruitment retention, or what the balance is between recruitment retention as opposed to a certification program that you're working on. Is that a workaround for what we currently exists, or what did that look like, the alternative certificate program?
Through the Chair, Representative Galvin, we're still actually trying to figure out exactly what our own Grow Your Own program would look like. So that's that alternative program, pathway program. I don't have an exact balance between what these two are. We don't have the full recommendations from the TRR group to know how much potentially what's a low-hanging fruit that can come out of there that this funding could support. And we're working on an RFI, RFP to for the alternate program, alternative pathways. So we're still trying to identify exactly how it's going to be distributed.
Thank you. Follow-up through the chair, if I may.
Is this a follow-up to the same issue, same item?
I'll stay on this item.
Yeah.
But I do have some.
I was just going to ask as we go through, it just occurred to me as we go through the subcommittee process, when we ask questions, just reference the number so we all can follow, everybody can follow along.
Sure, and I'm still on line item 4. The question is whether you will be working with APU, UAA, and other sources who are also working toward the same effort of recruitment and retention with regard to teachers.
Representative Galvin, through the chair, we will making sure we will work with our education stakeholders and partners, the university, APU, all of them, to make sure we're not duplicating any efforts that are already underway.
Thank you, through the chair. I have a follow-up on a different line item.
All right.
This would be line item 5. And what it's this Alyeska Reading Academy and Institute, it looks like it's for 5 million. Is that over a period of time or is that for next year?
Through the chair, that is for fiscal year 2024 and into the future.
Okay, and a follow-up?
All right.
This looks fantastic. I'm excited to see that. I'm wondering if there is any complementary resources that are being put toward early learning in the same vein.
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, so outside of this funding, is that what you're referring to?
Mm-hmm.
So currently we have the funding that's been appropriated through the Alaska Reads Act. We have the funding that's already been in the department's budget to support Head Start and pre-K grants. So nothing in addition to what's already currently in the budget. In addition, I'll just share that this $5 million will also not only support K-3 students in Alaska, but also provide an opportunity for educators from around the state to come to year-round opportunity to receive hands-on training and experience in teaching reading and also receiving those micro-credentialing certifications and endorsements that's required with the Alaska Reads Act.
Thank you, and I have one last question. This again is regarding line item number 5. The last sentence here that says that this program would start during 23-24 and serve 20 to 25 students in each grade level, K-3, for up to 100 students total. Do you mean that this $5 million is going toward 100 students, or is that 100 students per school, or what does that look like?
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, so the $5 million supports the 12 permanent full-time positions, which would be a director, the teachers, paraprofessionals, and administrative support, and some other positions we're still trying to identify, in addition to serving up to those 100 students with the idea that as this program expands, that more students will be served. But this is a starting point. And then it also, any of the materials that we need, any of support, maybe bringing families in or whatnot. So we're still trying to identify exactly how the $5 million will be fully broken out, but it's a, I hope that answers.
All right, one last.
Follow-up. I certainly hope that we'll find a way to fully flesh this out a bit more that will be inclusive of more than 100 students for the $5 million. Thank you so much.
All right, Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Commissioner, who owns the Alyeska Reading Academy and Institute?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, this would be a department-run program, school. Like we had back in the day when we had the Alyeska Central School, which was a statewide correspondence program. So we're just basically reinstituting that model, but in a more statewide, in brick-and-mortar model.
Follow-up? For Mr. Steininger, are the second batch of amendments just what we have here and just for DEED, or are there other departments?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, this second batch of amendments is just for the Department of Education.
Thank you.
All right. Does anyone else? I do see you. I just want to make sure that we get our first round of questions in, and we'll next go to our second round. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair. Going back to line or item four, I realize that you are in the formation stage of this alternate certificate program in Alaska. But there must be a little bit more description of, well, first of all, alternate to what? In other words, what is it an alternate to? And then you have a general idea what it might look like.
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz. So an alternate would be like with our paraprofessionals, finding a way for them to maybe not have to maybe get that on-site, get some coursework while they're being a paraprofessional, as well as maybe not having to have the full bachelor's degree. Maybe they have so many credits. Maybe they can test for competency in being able to teach. We don't know exactly what this looks like. We are, like I said earlier, looking at what the university has done or is doing, looking at what other states have done for a Grow Your Own program to see what can be done in Alaska. So that is like one example of what an alternate pathway could be.
That sounds very good. One more follow-up, if I could. And now we're actually not a follow-up. It would be going down to line five, or to item five, I should say. I assume then the Alaska Reading Academy and Institute is the state-offered program that would provide an opportunity for teachers to fulfill their certification requirements as required under the READS Act. Is that really what it's designed to do?
Through the chair, yes.
Okay. And follow. And then you speak about how teachers will be able to attend, I assume during the summertime, a reading program which will allow them to get that certification. There won't be an online element to it. It's mainly physical attendance because you need to be there for actual practicum and those kinds of things. Is that correct?
Through the chair, yes to the summer, attending in the summer. And right now we are focusing on in-person instruction for teachers.
Thank you very much.
Coach Edgman.
Thank you. On item number five in the summary spreadsheet in front of us, I'm looking at the verbiage that talks about using highly trained teachers and reading coaches. And I see the $5 million ask includes 12 permanent full-time positions. Are those positions you have to recruit, or do you have those already identified?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, we will have to recruit for them.
Madam Co-Chair, to follow up, because it says using highly trained teachers and reading coaches, which, if I remember correctly, we were fairly bereft of in Alaska. There's not many. And $5 million is a fairly good ask when it's in UGF. I guess my other question would be, what would this do for rural Alaska? Because if you've got reading coaches, presumably they're going to have to travel out to these school districts, right? And highly trained teachers and so forth. So is it fair to say that a big chunk of this $5 million will accommodate travel out to rural schools?
Through the chairperson of Edgman, I would assume that part of this will accommodate some travel, especially for rural teachers to come out or for the housing while they're in Anchorage, because this right now is going to be an Anchorage-based facility. So it's a combination, I would think, but I would say this highly supports our rural teachers who may not have the opportunities to get some of this training because they're like a one-man shop in some of our really small schools. And so allowing them to come in for a week or two of training in the summertime and take that knowledge back to their district would be highly beneficial to the small communities.
If I might close, just a quick comment. I'm supportive of this, but it'll be interesting to, you know, a year henceforth to go back and look at this and see how successful it, you know, this whole effort was, and particularly the part about getting those specialists that you need for the reading programs envisioned by the READS Act. Thank you.
Representative Pronk.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. A quick question on item number five. When we're looking for those specialists, are we going to be looking for retired reading specialists that have already retired and that we can bring? I mean, because I'm thinking there's a lot of very qualified people that have retired already, and this would really fit right up their alley if they're willing to come back and use that, you know, what they have.
Through the chair, Representative Kronk, I would say yes. I would love a retired teacher to come back and help support this reading effort.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Galvin.
I didn't have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw I had you on my list. Okay, well, very good. Then it looks like we may have finished up our questions. Thank you for presenting. And we next up, we will have our subcommittee reports. I believe we have, let's see, we have Representative Cologne for the Department of Administration and Department of Public Safety and the Department of Education and Early Development. Representative Cologne's staff and legislative finance are here in the room and available for questions. Representative Cologne, when you're ready, please begin your first report on the Department of Administration.
All right. Thank you, Chair. So the Department of Administration Committee, we met about five times, I think. So the Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Administration held five meetings to review the governor's FY24 budget proposal and recommends the items contained in the below details. Unrestricted fund, general funds, $86,690,000. Designated funds, $31,886,000. Other funds, $205,977,000. Federal funds, $1,441,000. For a total of $325,995,000. Compared to the FY24 adjusted budget, adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase $9,875,000 in UGF, $2,020,000 in DGF, and $100,000 in federal funds, and a decrease in other funds of $607,000 for a total of $11,388,000. They have 1,289 permanent full-time positions, 7 permanent part-time positions, 25 temporary positions for a total of 1,321. After reviewing and discussing each of the transactions in detail, and the subcommittee recommended all items in the governor's proposed budget. We set a deadline, welcomed amendments from all members. The subcommittee received 2 amendments for consideration, but did not adopt either amendment. So I guess if there's any questions about DOA, I could take those. Anything?
Madam Chair?
Just one moment. All right, Representative Josephson.
Representative Cologne. And this isn't meant to be a quiz. I mean, if you don't know, that's fine. But do you know the nature of the amendments that were recommended and not adopted?
I don't remember.
Student at ease.
At ease. House Finance back on the record. So I just wanted to double check with our with Representative Colom and our Finance Subcommittee Chair to check if see if she was prepared for that question, and given that she's prepared for what's in the report, not what's not in the report. But and I believe there is, you know, available documents out there if you want to go back and read what those are. I guess I didn't want to start out by making sure every finance member was up on every amendment. So with that, I mean, I guess in wrap up, if Representative Flom wants to elaborate, whatever she might want to elaborate, I guess I'm not going to expect everybody, every committee, finance subcommittee chair to know exactly what's not in the report. But, I mean, this was quite a, I mean, it's a rather exhaustive process. There's been a number of meetings. There's a number of, lots of things get hashed out in committee. I certainly have to say that I'd like to say that I watched all of them, but I can't say that I did. And, anyway, I'll go ahead and continue from there. So.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes.
I can look into that myself. I do have a separate question.
Yes, go ahead.
I see here on page 3, it says serious felony caseload stabilization, House Bill 325. So this transaction compare is, quote, all in, close quote. So this is everything the agency and the governor want added together. Is that my understanding? Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
Simply that this transaction compare includes the governor's amendments. I don't know if it includes supplemental items. Probably those are different in nature. But this is everything the agency wants in FY24.
It's everything. Well, my understanding, and I'll also let Representative Colom answer this question. This is all of what has been presented to us up until this time.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
So can I speak to...
Yes, go ahead.
Through the chair?
It's go ahead. It's your presentation. I want to make sure that you go ahead and
No, through the chair to Representative Josephson. So it's a fair question to ask about the amendments that are turned down. I apologize. I didn't have that information right away. The two amendments were regarding public radio and... disability services. So there was a 1.5 ask for increase for public radio, and the Armstrong Amendment was 100,000 in UGF for the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Work Matters Task Force, and some accommodations that need to be made. So. Those were the two amendments, and again, I apologize for not having those.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Representative Colom. Any other questions on the Department of Administration before we accept the report? Seeing none. Eddie's. Finance back on the record. Next up, we have Representative Colom will be presenting on the Department of Public Safety.
Hey, thank you, Chair. The Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Public Safety reviewed the Governor's FY24 budget proposal and recommends the items contained in the below details. Fund source, unrestricted general funds, $235,116,000. Designated funds, $9,399,000. Other funds, $16,403,000. Federal funds, $39,018,000 for a total of $299,938,000. Compared to the FY24 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase of $21,883,000 in UGF, which is a 10% increase, $653 million in DGF, which is 7.5%, $2,810,000 in other funds, and $3,061,000 in federal funds, for a total increase of $24,409,000 in all fund sources. Department of Public Safety has 982 permanent full-time, 12 permanent part-time, 19 temporary, for a total of 1,013 positions. After reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted all items by unanimous consent. It is in the intent of the chair to recommend that the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault be relocated into an agency or department where its mission and scope of duties can be appropriately supported. There's some highlights on the second page that I'm not going to read through, but I will address the subcommittee amendments. The chair set an amendment deadline, welcomed amendments from all members, and the committee received one friendly amendment on behalf of the chair. The proposed amendment replaced the governor's one-time increment of $3 million in general funds with an increment of $3 million in restorative justice account funds. After discussion, the amendment was withdrawn due in part to insufficient statutory authority. The chair intends to propose legislation to increase the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault's statutory authority to receive a larger portion of these funds than they are currently designated to receive. And so just some of that background with CDBSA, they are needing a little bit more stable funding. They need increase in funding for outreach. And just talking with them and looking at where they land, they are somewhat of a little bit of an island in Department of Public Safety. And so we're looking at ways to get them into a department that possibly supports them better, but also to address the restorative justice funds so we can increase their percentage of those funds. That was the only amendment, and I think that's it. Questions?
Any additional questions for Department of Public Safety Subcommittee report?
Sure.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair. Representative Clem, I met with Ms. Stanfill about this issue, and we talked about the VOCA funding and the tailing off of that funding. And I don't remember the details of my conversation with her, but just as you noted, she saw a long-term sustainability problem. But my question is, for FY24, does CDVSA have the funds that it needs, to your understanding?
Through the chair to Representative Josephson, yes. So one of their asks was the $3 million, and that was approved to move forward. That three. What I'm wanting to do, and I'm working on this, is to swap that out of UGF and use the restorative justice funds. In order for me to do that, it's going to put them over the percentage in statute, and so that's why we need to do some work if I want to do that.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right, very good. Seeing no additional questions. The final closeout report for this morning is the Department of Education Early Development. Representative Colon, will you please begin your closeout report for this department?
All right, thank you, Chair. So this is the fun one. We got, there's a lot of amendments and a lot of discussion. I did want to just call out the Department of Deed. We did a lot of meetings, and they were really, really supportive and helpful through the subcommittee process. There was a lot to wrap our heads around, and so I would just appreciate their efforts. It was really enlightening to me, for sure. So the Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Education Early Development reviewed the Governor's FY24 budget proposal and recommends the items contained in the below details. Unrestricted general funds, $69,984,000. Designated general funds is $26,268,000. Other funds is $36,478,000. And federal funds, $270,083,000. So the total is $402,814,000. Compared to the FY24 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represented a decrease of $14,845,000 in UGF an increase of $23 million in DGF and an increase in $2,140,000 in other funds, and an increase of $22,357,000 in federal funds for a total increase of $33,132,000. Department of Education has 273 permanent full-time, 10 permanent part-time, 10 temporary, with a total of 293 PCNs. After reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee made numerous recommendations as well as adopted an amendment put forward by a member during the final meeting. Further, it is the intent of the chair to bring forward an amendment in the full finance committee and to work with the members on the committee to recommend the three cultural specialist positions for the department instead of reading specialist positions. So surrounding that is that I, within the subcommittee process, I had added additional reading specialists, and it was requested by Representative McCormick that maybe that those need to be cultural specialists to support rural Alaska better. The chair said there's some highlights. Again, I won't go through all those. I can take questions on that, but I don't want to take time doing that. The chair set a deadline, welcomed amendments from all members. The committee received 8 amendments, one of which was adopted to expand the Best Beginnings Dolly Parton Imagination Library program as outlined above, and I believe that was a $350,000 ask, that one amendment. So if anybody has any questions, I can answer those.
If you would, go through the significant budget actions and just say what each of those do.
So under the education support and admin services, we rejected the governor's $900,000 in UGF request for student information systems and predictive data dashboard. This was to be combined with a $2 million COVID money, and it was not related to the READS Act in any way. It was just to make the existing data easier to interface with the public. That didn't seem something that needed to be happening right now. I want all efforts and resources towards the READS Act and not more data dashboards. So since it didn't affect the ability to gather data or to access data, we rejected that. The Alaska State Libraries, Archives and Museums returned UGF authority to FY22 actuals. If I remember right, it was about a decrease of $400,000 for the State Library, and they had some positions that had been vacant for quite some time and would like to see them focus their efforts more on their online component. Since the library is off the road system, they have some really great programs, the OWL program, for example, instead of increase in personnel services. Education support and admin services. We changed the fund source change for the ANSEP program. ANSEP was requesting the $1 million, which was referred to here. We just switched it out of the UGF into the Higher Education Fund because it is dealing with secondary education, students accessing secondary education. Thought it was more appropriate to come out of the Higher Education Fund. We rejected $385,000 in review panel costs associated with the FY24 fiscal note projection on the READS Act. So this was a panel that it was in the fiscal note for the READS Act. They were going to bring about 35 people on a panel and bring everybody from all over the place to talk about the READS Act and if it was working or not. The committee felt that it was premature. The READS Act isn't even implemented. And to spend that kind of money on a panel and a meeting, which is pretty expensive, we would rather see that invested in the READS Act implementation. So we were taking that money and putting that towards the additional reading specialists instead of the convening. The department did say that they will do it. They will figure out a meeting. It just will be a little, they'll be have to be creative, and it'll be a little bit trickier to talk about it. But they will still do the convening. It just won't cost $385,000. So that connects to the next one with the add two reading specialist positions. That's where that money is coming from. And that is also additionally what I was talking about with possibly changing those into cultural reading specialists, not just the reading specialist position. The next one is connected as well to saving the money from the 385, just putting more money towards teacher certification fees. And so teachers also, right now they have to pay for their certification. It's not that I'm paying for everybody's certification. It's the additional Reads Act certification that I would like to see those fees covered by deed and not place that burden on the teachers. And then the $320,000 for the Imagination Library to increase outreach is a early literacy project. I did not support this particular amendment, so I don't have a lot of details on that. You can ask those that supported it if you want more details on what the program is. And then the last one, Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. We added intent language directing the ACPE to direct its resources to student completion of the FAFSA and to require a report. So in our report from ACPE, they said they had mentioned that we are last behind the District of Columbia for FAFSA completions. And so the committee was concerned about that. So we want to try to focus their efforts to bump that number up. If you're not familiar with FAFSA, you can't access any scholarships, loans, or anything without filling it out. So we're leaving a lot of money on the table. So we would like to have them direct more efforts and resources towards getting those completions done. And I think that's it.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Representative Colomb, on the Alaska State Library's returning UGF authority to FY22, that seems to imply that there's a reduction, that the governor wanted more than the subcommittee. Do you know what the delta was between what the governor wanted for State Library, Archives, and Museums and what the subcommittee wanted?
I believe, I can get it looked up, but I believe it was about $402,000.
Thank you.
It was coming out of library operations, but... You know, wherever they want to save the money, I guess, is what where they choose to save it. Some of those, that's why I said that the vacant positions will make up at least half of that. So, any other questions?
No other questions? All right, very good. Anyone else? Seeing no additional questions, that completes our subcommittee reports. Thank you, Representative Colomb, and your staff for presenting to House Finance. That wraps up our closeout reports for this morning. Our next meeting is scheduled for 1:30 p.m. At that meeting, we will be hearing closeout reports from the Department of Fish and Game, Judiciary, Department of Law, Department of Natural Resources, Department of Environmental Conservation, Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And with that, at 9:46, we are adjourned.